My dearly beloved in Christ, as you well know, we just had, 2 days ago, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it is interesting that this Feast of the Sacred Heart and the devotion to the Sacred Heart is a fairly recent institution in the Church. In the early 1600s, 1630s, 1640s, thereabouts, there was a holy French priest named St. John Eudes, and he started a small religious congregation, and among the members of his congregation, he promoted the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but it was not more widely known. Later in that century, however, our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary. She was a religious in a convent, a visitation convent in the city of Paray-le-Monial in central France, and our Lord appeared to her frequently over a period of 18 months, beginning in 1673. And he showed her the image of his heart, and he said, "Behold this heart which has loved men so much, yet it is so little loved in return." Now, as our Lord showed her the image of his heart, it was surmounted by flames. It was surrounded by the thorns, the crown of thorns, and the flames were surmounted by a cross, and in the side of the heart there's the wound, reminding us that the soldier pierced the side of our Lord after he had died on the cross. So the symbolism, of course, the heart is symbol of our love, but the symbol of the Sacred Heart shows us the overflowing love of our Lord for us, that there are flames surmounting it, and the cross again on the top, indicating to us how our Lord demonstrated his love by dying for us on the cross. And it is amazing when you think that Almighty God, who has no need of us to make himself happy and blissful, God has existed for all eternity before creation. And yet he created us out of his love, and he craves our love. He deserves our love. And to gain our love, he sent his only begotten Son in the world. And our Lord died upon the cross, established his church, instituted the sacraments, gave us himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. And he has done all of this to gain our love, because again, he craves our love. Even though, of course, he deserves it and should not need to ask for it, nevertheless, he appeared to St. Margaret Mary asking for our love. And he complained to her about the fact that he was not loved as he should be. He said, "I am wounded in the house of those who love me, those who claim to love and serve him, even in religious houses and in Catholic homes." Our Lord is still wounded and offended. And on one occasion, he said to her, to St. Margaret Mary, "At least you love me." As though to say, even if others will not love me, at least you console me and love me. Now, we printed on the back of today's bulletin the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart. These are the principal promises for those who honor and love the Sacred Heart, what our Lord will do for them, for us. And it is amazing when you read these, the outpouring of the love of the Sacred Heart for the little that we do for him. He promises so much in return. Now, as you know, there was a great priest from South America who was ordained, I think, maybe the early 1900s, maybe right around 1900. And he was a member of a religious order dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so, of course, he had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. But one day he came up with the idea of establishing a ceremony for families to consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart and have the image of the Sacred Heart, either a picture or a statue, enthroned in their home. And he did this reflecting upon two of the 12 promises in particular. Our Lord said that I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. And then the other promise was, speaking of families, I will establish peace in their homes. That is, the homes of those who honor my Sacred Heart. And so Father Mateo, that was his name, was thinking, how can we get these blessings of the Sacred Heart to families? This is the 20th century when he started this movement. And he could see that families were attacked on all sides. And so he came up with the ceremony of the enthronement, which was approved by Pope St. Pius X and the subsequent popes, Benedict XV, Pius XI, greatly promoted this ceremony, this devotion of the enthronement. And all it means is that a family will claim Christ as their king. They will put in a place of honor a picture or statue of the Sacred Heart, and before that image, recite prayers to our Lord and honor him as the king of the home. Now, I might mention that once a family has had their home enthroned, it's good for the rest of their days. In other words, you move to a different house, you don't need to have the enthronement again, because it's once it's been done, it is the enthronement of the family, not of the house. But it is a wonderful devotion. Now, this, of course, is the month of June, the month of the Sacred Heart. And we should reflect upon how much our Lord loves us and ask ourselves, how much do I love him in return? And love is not a feeling, it's proved by deeds. We prove our love for our Lord by being faithful to his commandments, by serving him. And as you read the words of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary, you can find that there are two things that he is looking for, two things that he wants, and that devotion to the Sacred Heart is all about. One of them is loving our Lord, and of course, again, being faithful to his laws, to his commandments. So love, and the other is reparation, to make up for those who do not love our Lord, to atone for their sins, for their indifference, for their coldness, for the wounds by which they pierce him and offend him. One of the things that our Lord taught St. Margaret Mary, or requested of her, was to make a holy hour every week. She would do it on Saturday evening. She obtained permission from her superior, being in a convent, to stay up late Thursday night and make a holy hour. And that was to offer atonement to our Lord. So very much a part of devotion to the Sacred Heart is consoling our Lord, making up for those that do not love him, do not serve him. Now, these apparitions, as I said, were in the 1670s, and took a while for the devotion to become accepted by the church and practiced. St. Margaret Mary's superior didn't believe in her apparitions. She even thought that St. Margaret Mary was maybe a little troubled. She had her see a doctor. And other sisters in the convent engaged in somewhat of a silent persecution of her, like she was possessed or something. There were some sisters, even as they walked by her in the hallway, would sprinkle a little holy water on her. So you can imagine what she had to go through. And church authorities, confessors, theologians, etc., thought, no, we don't need this devotion in the church. It's something new. It's something novel. We don't need it. Until our Lord sent her, and he told her he was going to send her a confessor who would be her support and who would obtain the approval of this devotion. And that was Blessed Claude de la Colombière, a Jesuit, who became her confessor, believed in these apparitions, believed in the value and importance of this devotion, and obtained for its acceptance by the church. Now, even though it was then accepted, and in fact, many of those who previously didn't believe or even persecuted St. Margaret Mary came around to endorsing it and accepting it. But it spread slowly. I think it wasn't until the mid-1800s that there was a feast of the Sacred Heart observed throughout the entire church. There were individual communities, etc., that had a feast day, but it wasn't until the mid-1800s that it was observed in the entire church, and then raised to a higher rank, I believe, by Pope Pius XI in the 1900s. So it gradually began to grow and spread. But in today's gospel, we have that wonderful story of a good shepherd who loses one sheep, leaves the 99 apart, and goes searching for the one that has strayed. What a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart. And can we not all admit and acknowledge, if we're honest, that we were like that one sheep, that one that was lost, at least at some point in our lives? And our Lord didn't just abandon us. He came in search for us, and that is by his grace in our conscience, reminding us to return to his embrace, to his love. And in the gospel story, when the shepherd finds the sheep that was lost, he gathers his friends together and says, "Let us celebrate. I found the sheep that was lost." And our Lord concludes by saying, "I tell you, there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 who have no need of repentance." The love of the Sacred Heart is beyond our ability to comprehend, that our Lord would go to such lengths as to lay down his life for us, for those he loves. No greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friends, our Lord said. So he did this, and yet, he is still so little loved. Let us at least love him, console him. And again, we do that by the way we live, by obeying his commandments, by our prayer life, and by professing to our Lord the love that we have in our hearts for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.